testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Unscripted Pulpit. It's Austin here with you this evening. Glad that I could hop on for a little bit and finally found a little extra time with the holidays and all the craziness going on, and then being a bit under the weather. Things have kind of not went as planned. Some schedule changes, different things like that. So we did take off the week of Thanksgiving, just because there was so much going on and trying to get things squared away, as well as trying to get Thanksgiving started, was not an easy process. But we are back, and very glad to be back. So, excuse me, if you hear me hacking and coughing and carrying on, just overlook that. I apologize, been a little under the weather here lately. But going to try to put together this episode to share with y'all. I got a topic or a thought, one might say, that I want to try to talk with you about this evening. Let's see. As always, check out our website if you could manage to do that. We'd greatly appreciate it. www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. There you can find out who we are, what we are, everything you could want to know about us. We will be on there. Find out who your hosts are. We've had some pretty exciting stuff happen in the past little bit, as well as our merch store. Get you some pretty awesome merch. We had a sale going on. I'm probably going to do another one as we get a little closer to Christmas here in a week or so. I think the last one was like 15% off. We may do a 20% off for Christmas. Got some pretty awesome stuff on there, though. Again, if you hear just a brief pause or, you know, whatever, it's because I've took off coughing or sneezing. But if you don't follow us on our Facebook page, check us out there at The Pulpit. We post on there a lot. Just different updates, reminders, things that are happening, things that are going on. But we are on there as well. We announced just a week or so ago, well, right at about 2 weeks, we have brought on Brother Jared Hurst as one of our hosts. We're going to get him started here hopefully very soon. I know that he's got some topics and things that he wants to share, and Brother Jeremiah and Sister Sarah, they have been hard at it with work and training and school and different things going on. So we're hoping that we can all four get together here very soon in order to put out an episode for you. So hopefully we will get that together here very, very soon. But with all that being said, probably be a short episode here. I do want to kind of bring back just a short thought. The ideal of our foundation, who we are and what we are, and different things like that. Today,
sorry, I didn't understand that.
I'm sorry about that. My watch is talking. Anyways. Today I want to look at the ideal and the of kind of the power and necessity of getting back to basics. Simple walks that we have that many people before us had, actually. But also the things that define our Christian. We live in a constant changing, noisy, distracting world. And in all reality, our spiritual lives, our walk with God, they become cluttered and complicated and dysfunctional. And ideally, we drift away from the primary focus. You know, we hear in the story in the Bible about the man who built his house on the sand and didn't hold up for nothing. But one of the things that I want you to consider is while we discuss this, and like I said, it won't probably be, but this may not be, but maybe a 15, 20 minute episode. But one of the things that I want you to think of and consider praying about and ask God to bring you back to the basics of Christianity. We have gotten to a point where we have dissected and deep dove so much into what it means to be spiritual and what it means to be this, and we've put titles on it, when in all reality, it's not what we've made it out to be. The basic idea of the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is simply that he died on a cross for our sins, was put into a borrowed tomb, and on the third day rose again, and he's coming back to get us. And our primary job is to give our life to him, and make the attempt to live in a form or fashion that we should as Christians. The idea when I was little was that we were always told the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. You can follow those basic instructions before you leave this earth, you'll call heaven your home. But ideally, the basic foundation of our Christianity is the Bible. It is first and foremost the most essential thing. Many old-timer preachers call it the infallible Word of God. But in all reality, it is our infallible source of truth and direction and strength and all these different things. And we take what the Bible says and we complicate our lives when we try to seek answers from somewhere else. And I'm just as bad for it. I don't understand a topic, so I will go and listen to another preacher or read a book or something, and it complicates everything. But if we can just put what we have to think and say and do into the Word of God, we're always going to be 10 times better. It says, I wrote down verse, but I didn't write down where it's from. But I think it's 2 Timothy, either 15 and 16 or 16 and 17, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God who may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I did write it down. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I apologize there. But you know, that pretty much says that all scripture is by God. So if we can follow that scripture and apply it in our daily walk of those instructions, such as love thy neighbor, we think of things not to do. And everybody wants, the first thing they want to throw up is the Ten Commandments. But I mean, there's a lot of other things in there. We take what the Bible says and then we throw our own judgment to it. I think it's the best way to say that. And I'm just as guilty as these. I was kind of, when I was thinking about this and reading on it right before I, you know, hit record here, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, are we neglecting the daily reading and meditation of the Bible? Matthew 4 and 4 titles the Bible as our daily bread that we need daily. But let me just say this, by getting back to the basics, by getting back to the foundation of what we are built on as Christians, and this goes for the new Christians, the old Christians, and the indifferent Christians, just the same. We have got to get back to the mindset of read it, memorize it, and let it work on you. I was told that all my life, you know. I can remember in Sunday school when the Sunday school teacher would want us to learn a Bible verse or something, and we would read it over and over and over and over, and then we finally got it. But one of the other aspects of our foundation of getting back to the basic, you know, the basic ideal of walking with God is prayer. We don't have to memorize, and we've heard preachers say this for years and years, God is our best friend, and we don't have to sit here and memorize these, you know, big fancy prayers. When I was growing up, I played football, and I played for a Catholic church because the coach that I'd had for 5 or 6 years transferred to the Catholic church and started teaching as well as coaching over there. And my mom has told this story numerous times, but there was we prayed. It was part of the archdiocese of the church that we had to pray before each ball game. And I was brought up Baptist, y'all. I mean, I was brought up Free Will Baptist. The praying I heard wasn't like the praying the Catholic Church had heard. And the coach had hollered and asked me to pray, and I got up and prayed just about like any other prayer. Started off with Dear Heavenly Father, and somewhere in there I had a help us win and kick some tail, and ended with a In Jesus' name I pray, amen. But after that, he said, no, we got to have somebody else pray, and had another boy stand up, and he said this prayer, and it was very scripted, and everybody repeated it. You know, prayer is just like talking. You know, there was a Christian comedian, Mark Lowry, and he always had this joke that crowds would bust out laughing to. But when you start applying that little comment to your own life, it kind of is a newsflash to you. He said that, you know, he was telling this little story, this little joke, and He said, I started talking to God, and he said, y'all know that if you're mad at God, you might as well just go ahead and tell him because he already knows. And sometimes I have to think about that in the aspect of, you know, if something in our life ain't going right, we really ought to just might as well tell God, because God might be, you know, putting us through what we're going through. And giving us the out of being able to call on his name. But anyways, like I said, prayer is not this big, scripted, fancy thing that, you know, a lot of people think it is. But, you know, the Bible in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing, in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believe ye shall receive. But that's Matthew 21:2 says, let me restart that. I said that wrong. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Matthew 21:22 says, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, shall ye receive. Sometimes God's just waiting on us. You know, a lot of times we sit here, when we say, God bless me with a new job, God bless me with this, God, if you can help me with that. But the question is, are we just praying it one time and then expecting it to come to fruition? Or are we actually, you know, seeking God? There's a difference between asking for something and just hoping it comes true versus asking for something and it coming true because we enacted on it. But the basics of prayer is believing and persisting, and it's not the big eloquent words, the big fancy things, but it's just a sincere heart. The Bible pretty much says, and don't quote me on this, I'm using my layman terms, but the Bible just simply says that we should come to God, you know, as if we with the heart of a child. because it's so simple and pure. Don't try to put big expectations on your Christian walk, because we're human and we fail. We need to just return to the simple habits of talking to God. You know, the other day I was, as everybody knows, and if you don't, I'm a funeral director, and I was at the office, and my mind was going crazy and worrying, and I've got, you know, a lot of stuff that I'm seeking God's intervention on, and I was letting it get to me is what I was letting it do. And I just decided that, you know what, I'm gonna go for a little walk. It was just there in the office. I was pacing back and forth and talking to God, and I didn't realize that a friend of mine had stopped by and had, was sitting in the office, and here I am just, you know, having a chit chat. And I walked back in, and she said, "Well, I didn't know you had somebody in." And I said, "I don't." She said, "Well, who was you talking to?" I said, "Well, in all reality, I was praying." Just because she, and that's something that I'm working on myself. But I have a kind of a challenge for you here. If we talk to God if we talk to God like we stared at Facebook, or we stared at Instagram, or just a screen that we stare at, if we talk to God like we stare at a screen, how much further along would our walk with God be? Again, that's just a point number two of getting back to the basics of constant communion and communication with God. I mentioned earlier about love for God and love for loving your neighbor, and, you know, different. But that's an important aspect. Love is a very important aspect of our foundation as Christians. Jesus has simplified the entire law into the foundation, into one foundational basic word, and that's love. Everything we do in church, programs, services, giving, witnessing to people, singing a song, preaching, sharing God's word, we have to do it, and it has to flow from genuine love. If we lose love, we pretty much lose everything. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 7, says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Y'all think it wouldn't be important to love each other? God put such serious words into two verses. You know, the Church of Ephesus had lost its first love in Revelation. I think it's chapter 2. And the Bible pretty much says that we have to get back to our first love. Maybe our first love is actually loving people. Maybe we've gotten stagnant and cold. Now, when we're at a point where we would rather sit there and call somebody out and tell them they're being disobedient to God for not going to the altar to be prayed over, instead of considering the fact and looking at why they may not want to. You know, we can't sit here and worry about me, because self-loathing is the absence of love. But love for God is shown in obedience, and that's scripture. Love for your neighbor is shown in not just acts of kindness, but in forgiveness as well. If all complex aspects of our life would be faced with love for a lot more, and every single complex doctrine causes a lot of separation and division. So when we hear it all the time, love the sinner but hate the sin. And we sit here and we ponder, well, I can't love that person because they don't believe the way I do, or they believe different from me. And we can't be having that kind of stuff and still think that we're keeping the simple commandments. We're just not able to do that. But we have to be able to simplify our hearts with the basic commandment of simply love. Now, in order for us to strengthen our spiritual walks or our spiritual lives, we have to be able to set aside the noise and return to the basic necessities, which, as I said, the manual section in the commandment. Like I said, your basic instructions before leaving Earth is your Bible. That's your manual. Connection with God is your prayer. I mean, you got a best friend, you don't ever pick the phone up and call them. What kind of friend are you? But, and of course, you have the commandment. The commandment is love. Do everything, let everything you do be done in love. We don't need to let our walk with God become complicated, because the path is simple. It requires a little dedication. And we have a promise: when we return to the basics, we will find a renewal, a revival of our spirits and a rest in the power that God has promised us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 simply says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." I don't think his people who are called by his name are humbling themselves down and praying and seeking his face and turning from their wicked ways, because we're still sitting here waiting to hear from heaven. We see sin on every hand and our land is still sick and broken. But, that's just my thoughts. You may agree, you don't have to. We're all entitled to our own opinions, but we have to know where we stand on things. We have to stop with the whole idea that being a Christian is hard. We can't have that attitude anymore, because having that attitude doesn't really do much for nobody. Church is not hard. That's one of the things. That's another thing I was going to mention. Church is not hard. A lot of people think church is hard, and it's not. There are, of course, things that, I wish would be done different. And I'm sure there's things in your life that you wish would be done in your church, wherever you go. But we have gotten to this idea that when we walk in the church house, everything's got to go our way and we've got to be the center of attention. And that's not the case. Our churches will not grow if we don't put in a little effort, I guess one might say. We have to be able to consider others, and that goes back to the whole loving people. But, and you know, like I said, y'all, it's going to be a short episode, and none of this probably made any sense to some of you. Makes sense in my head, but it's hard for me to, you know, put it all together on the whim. But if we can get back to taking our direction from the Word of God, being able to talk with God, and not putting ourselves in predicaments where we sit here and say, well, my walk with God's not good because I don't blah, blah, blah. We all have different walks, and we are all at different phases in our worship. That's, you know, how we grow. So therefore, we're not always going to all have and say and do and everything else the same way everybody else does. But we have to have a foundation, and that foundation is so simple and so basic that you have to consider the outcome and what's at stake. You can't consider what's at stake being your salvation, then really what's the point of wanting to try? Doesn't make that much sense. But, well, y'all, I've gave you my thoughts that I've had this evening. Sounds a little crazy, I know, but I gave them to you anyways. I didn't promise it would be fancy. Didn't promise it would be nothing too crazy. But I gave you what I got, and it's just a small thought. But we appreciate you listening. Glad we could join you this evening. Check out our website again, all the different things we have going on. And don't forget to love one another. Always remember that talking to God is like talking to a friend. Just get back to the basics. Don't overthink your walk, because overthinking your walk will put you in a worse place than you are.
Testify, oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify.
Hey guys, it's Austin. I want to talk to something real quick. Just a short thought that I had, kind of that we would like to really start pushing and urging to closing out all of our podcast with. I know we like to have a lot of fun. We like to deep dive into God's Word and discuss a lot of different stuff. But there's a very serious matter at hand. And let's be honest, it's something that's very important. If you look at your own life and your own thoughts and your actions, I'm sure there's something in there that you wish you could take back. You know deep down that things aren't right, and the Bible is clear about this, and it doesn't leave anyone out. The plain truth is that we've all messed up, no matter how perfect we try to make life. We've all missed the mark of God's perfect standard. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and came short of the glory of God." And sin isn't just a minor mistake. It comes with a terrible price. When you work a job, you earn wages. The wages we earn for sin is death, spiritual separation from God forever. Romans 6 and 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." We all face two unavoidable appointments, and that's death and the judgment. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." And you can't fix the problems in your life yourself. No amount of good deed can be undone or can undo the wrong that you've done. You are facing a huge debt that you cannot pay. But I have good news for you. The same good news that was shared to me and shared to many others, I am here to share it with you, and that is simply that. This is where the story changes completely. God knows that we can't save ourselves, and because He loves us with an impossible love, He made a way out. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the ultimate debt for us. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't wait for us to clean up our act. He showed us His love right where we were, at our best or at our worst. We were still sinners, but Jesus still died on the cross for us. Romans 5:8 says, But God commandeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. Jesus took the punishment we deserved when He was beaten and crucified. Isaiah says in chapter 53:5, He was wounded for our transgression, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Today I strongly urge you, myself, Jeremiah, Sarah, and all of the staff of the Unscripted Pulpit Ministries, strongly urge you that if you do not know Christ and the free pardon of sin, and if you was to die today, that you would make heaven your home. If you have any of that uncertainty, we urge you to take into account the matter of salvation. If you just simply believe, Romans 9:10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We urge you, don't miss out. As I said, the wages of sin is death. But that good news that I have given you, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only way to the Father, and He is waiting for you to now. Don't wait any longer.